Everybody else is advertising for football this week, so I figured we'd get into the act a little bit too. This came about from a couple instances I had this week. The first one, it was both these were at work. The first one, I had to talk to a doctor. One of the areas I cover, and there is a procedural area, which means patients come in, they have their procedure, they recover, and they go home. And out of 10 different doctors, there's one that doesn't put his orders in the right way. Now, to protect him, I'm going to use a false name, Dr. Wright, Dr. Always Wright. And I know none of y'all have to experience any of that at work or know anyone like that. I talked to him about it. We had a specialist in, and there are nurses that do nothing but analyze these electronic medical records, looking for patterns, trying to help people so that where they do have to document something, they do it smoother. And the guy, he's wonderful at what he does. He's great with his patients. He does great procedures. But if he ever uses the word wrong, there's not an I in it, unless there's a not in it as well. And so this specialist who came up 2 weeks ago, she sent me this whole like list. And what it was coming down to was the nurses were having to fix his orders, which meant that patient who'd been in that procedure and hadn't had anything to eat, and they were delayed on the average about 30 minutes. And how many of us have had a medical procedure done before? And you doped up, you just want to go home, and you're delayed an extra 30 minutes. And then we send you a survey on top of that. Do the surveys go real well? Anyway, I start to talk to Dr. Wright Monday morning. And, well, it was an interesting conversation. I told him that, you know, we would be glad to get a specialist up there with him and would show him how to maximize his time. And it would, and with the charting, so he'd have more time with his patients. Then he told me, there is nothing wrong with my charting. This computer system needs to be fixed. And the fact he was about this tall did not help, because I just stood there and just kind of looked down at him, and the Lord saw fit to help me keep my joy, which is where this happened. So I was smiling at him and looking down at him. That did not calm him down. And he got a little more animated, and a little more animated, and a little more animated. And what he didn't realize was, I knew that unit. I've been in healthcare 23, 24 years. I've been cussed out. I've had the phone hung up on me. I have been called every name that you can possibly imagine. Whenever I've had it done by physicians, almost every single time, it was to make the patient experience better. I'll take it in a heartbeat. I'll show you the tooth prints on my rear end where others have done it a lot better than you do. And then he proceeded to tell me how I had wasted 30 minutes of his time and he was going to be there till 7:30 at night. Was I going to be there? And when I said, nope, I'm not. That did not calm him down a whole lot, but it did help me with the other nurses on the unit, because they were really giving me golf claps, because on the average, their patients were being delayed. This person, when he does this, he does on about 5 or 10 patients during the day. So that's 10 patients. That's 5 hours of extra time that patients have to spend. And that's just not right. If it was him, he wouldn't want to be delayed 30 minutes. But what I'm getting to is, normally in the past, when that happened, my head would have started hurting. I would have just... And I didn't. Lord, help me keep my joy in for that circumstance. Now, circumstance number two, though, a little different. One of the nurses, I help with orientation of new nurses. And there was another unit. And this nurse, and for those of you that have been around nurses, we're terrible with our own. We may be very nice to everyone else, but when it comes to nurses treating other nurses, we're vicious. We are. I mean, our profession, 1 out of 3 nurses leave their first job within a year. We have a term just for our bullying called lateral violence. University, Medical University of South Carolina study, 800 nurses over 667 experienced bullying on a regular basis. That's been within the last 15 years. But anyway, I'm going to call this one Little Bear Cub because she came into my office and then she just busted out crying. Now, you can run all over me. I tend to be okay with that till I reach a certain point. Problem is, there's no indicator when that certain point happens and I go, boom! But those that I'm in charge of helping, like a patient, a student, new nurse, that's different. I start sharpening my claws against a tree and I get aggravated and mad rather quickly. What had happened was this girl had been at this unit for a week, 1 week. In an 8-week orientation, her preceptor left her to the side, and it was something that the girl missed. No patient was injured, nothing happened, everything was fine, but the doctor got upset about it. Preceptor promptly looked for a Little Bear Cub's back to see if there were any convenient carrying handles, and it tossed her up under the bus and made this girl feel like she was just awful, lower than low. Have any of you been at jobs before where there's this unspoken thing and no one tells you about it until you either do it or don't do it? I have. She was too. And she was just so upset. And that was a situation I did not keep my joy. I was wanting to go down there and pull all of them into a room and say, all right, how many of y'all, did you pop out of your father's head a nurse? No. We all started. We all learned. Anyway, kept the joy on one. Didn't do so good on the other. But it got me thinking, though, about joy and what it's all, how to keep it in this world. And it's hard to. And now, before I go any farther, I'm going to talk, I want to mention something that it's different than joy. Clinical depression, what I'm about to talk to you about, it doesn't apply directly to someone that's suffering from clinical depression. Clinical depression is not just snap out of it. It's not willpower. It's chemistry. It's brain chemistry. And if there is someone dealing with clinical depression, this isn't to tell you that you just pray your way out of it. I think the Lord gives us our avenues by getting us to people that can help us, either with medicine and or therapy. This isn't about that, because there are times in your life that if you have an imbalance, you don't just snap out of it. It is more than prayer. And I just want to make that real clear before we go any farther, because it is not a good thing when the sun's shining, the world's going on around you, and you don't even want to get up out of bed. It don't mean you're weak. It means that chemical A and chemical B are all out of whack. But now, for folks that don't, that their chemistry is fine, the devil has no reason for you to have joy in your life. He don't want it. He wants you to stay exactly where you're at. No joy. Joy is one of those things that you build upon. And the devil doesn't want you to have any of it. You think the devil wants anything with God in this world? He's doing his very best to keep it in every potential way. I saw something about and it's not directly related to God, but I think of God and country. The NFL saw fit not to approve advertising this week for a 15-second spot that you had different Americans saying, please stand. And I think God and country are kind of connected. And the devil plays the corporate game very, very well. And Jesus tells us in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal and destroy. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:8 that he's like an animal prowling around. And he's looking for something or someone to devour. Now, another thing I want to clarify, sometimes happiness and joy get lumped right in together. They're two different things. Happiness is something external. Happiness is like when I go to a gun show. It is just ooh, shiny things, and I love it. And it's a, or you know, like if you eating at your favorite restaurant and whatever it is, but later it fleets. Happiness to me is like a dandelion on a windy day. One good gust and it all goes away. Because what happens to that happiness, like when whatever you just bought, it breaks? Still happy? No. Is external, it goes on out. Like I got Lisa some software for Christmas, so she needed pictures. And we had a DVD player that's supposed to hook up to her computer. Only thing is, DVD player's not working, so there's this software, and I am just... Mother was very nice about it. Father was like, oh, Lord, I don't believe this. And we're still having to try and get that Aura DVD player, honey, but that's something different. Joy is something that even when things don't go right, you still have it. It's a good feeling in the soul. It's something internal. It's internal to the heart, the deepest parts of your heart. And it's hard to get. It's something given from God. It's not something that we can get on our own. We can pray about it. We can ask God about it. And we'll cover that a little bit more. But it's not something that you can just, boom. When you have joy, you're able to stand up and fight when you need to. Happiness, when it's gone, you don't feel like doing anything with joy. You may not like it, but you can stand up and fight and do something about it. You just have a peace. And it's a hard peace. Peace is hard to get in this world. Nehemiah tells us the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I started looking at this. I started developing this. There are a lot of examples of joy in the Bible. Like Sarah, when she gave birth to Isaac. Isaac, she was just laughing and so overjoyed. I think Isaac means laugh. And it's an amazing thing. And then I came to the story of Paul. And particularly in Philippians 4. Paul was just an amazing person. One thing I thought was so amazing about this section of Scripture, and I did not realize this, Paul was in prison, probably in Rome, when he wrote this. 25% of the time of Paul's ministry, he was in jail somewhere. Paul had his rear end beat more than a bass drum in a marching band. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was just every possible thing that could happen. I had a flat tire a few weeks ago, and I thought it was the worst thing in the world. This man kept his joy through all of this. That first verse, rejoice in the Lord. And now Roman prisons, I think Bill has talked about this before in his sermons. Before you went into a prison, you were stripped down and you were beat within an inch of your life with whips. And not a regular whip. It was a whip that had metal pieces on the end of it. And as you sweat, it would just tear more and more of your skin off. They didn't treat the wounds. Then they put you in chains. You wore the same bloody clothing you had. There was no winter. I mean, there was no clothes for winter. You had to find your own food. Paul had joy in that. This was while he was writing this. Paul had gratitude. Gratitude's very fleeting, but gratitude's good. They did a study. It was at a hospital, I think Johns Hopkins or something like that, and they were talking about patients that were thankful, how they did better when patients expressed gratitude, healed faster. And I think part of the way you experience, you can have that gratitude is that you have joy in your heart to realize that you got things to be thankful for. Always. Colossians 3:17 tells us, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through God the Father. Paul was also humble, and he didn't have to be. Paul started, I think, 14 churches or more. in his time. He worked miracles. He was the modern evangelist. He's where everything came from. Paul didn't really have a reason. He could have been just very, very arrogant, but he wasn't. He was very humble. I'm not going to trip, honey. Micah tells us, what does the Lord require of you? Just to act justly and love, and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Paul also had peace. And that peace of God, oh man, it goes hand in hand with joy. How many times can you experience just true, I'm not worried, joy in your heart without having some kind of peace? They go hand in hand. You have to have them. Paul had this. In spite of being in one of the, historians have said, Roman prisons were one, probably the worst prisons in the known world at that time. He had that peace, and he knew. I think the Bible doesn't say in that particular book, but I think he knew his time was coming. That he was going to die for the Lord. Jesus tells us in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And God wants you to bring your troubles to him. Tell him about them. He knows it. He wants you to come to him with these troubles. He may not work it out the way you think it needs to be, but he'll work it out. Jesus made it really plainly known in Matthew 21, my house is a house of prayer. It is a house of prayer. He didn't want you to walk around this world in these storms. He didn't want you to be downhearted, gloomy, heartbroken. He wants you to praise him in these storms, and he will help you. He will help all of us. He wants us to be filled with joy. And even then, through all that, Paul rejoiced in the Lord. The reason for this chapter, he was giving thanks to the congregation there at Philippi. Out of all those churches Paul started, they were the only ones that helped him. And he's going to mention it a little bit farther. In this particular situation, he helped them that congregation helped him in two different spots. Thessalonica and here. And helping somebody in this time in history, it wasn't like, you didn't just like give them a gift card. They had to hop on a boat, go through some really dangerous areas to get there. And they delivered this aid to him. And it brings me to another point about joy. We weren't meant to be alone. We were meant to walk and be with other believers who can help reinforce this joy and peace for us. We weren't meant to be by ourselves. Jesus talks about Matthew 25 that when he was hungry, we fed him. When he was thirsty, we gave him water. When he was naked, we clothed him. When he was in prison, we visited him. And the disciples didn't know what he was talking about. When you've done these for the least of these, you've done it unto me. We help reinforce joy in each other. And this brings us to like one of the most iconic verses to me in the entire Bible. I've seen this repeated. Shirts, stickers, all over. Philippians 4:13. And I've repeated it many times through the years. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I didn't really realize the circumstances it was written in. Paul was sitting there in the prison. He was in not just a prison, one of the worst prisons in the world. I think the name of it was the Triarium prison in Rome. It was literally, archaeologists are pulling out more and more about this prison to tell how bad it was. And he was there. And he is, what he's saying is that he can get along under any circumstances. The Lord's going to see him through. That's what it's saying. It's not this, I'm on top of the world. It's that I'm at the bottom, and the Lord is going to see me through. He'll still help me get from the bottom to the top. Because it's easy to have joy in good times. Like for that flat tire, I was all joyful. And for that flat tire, I wasn't quite so joyful. Because pastors get down. And it's easy for us to lose joy and peace because we experience the same things. Flat tires, broke cars. Boy, they broke cars this week, but that's another story. And it's we experience the same things as anybody else. Paul had joy in this. And the Lord, he gives the glory to Jesus. In 2 Corinthians, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ will dwell in me. That is just beautiful. That without Jesus, we're broken. We have no chance of joy or peace in this world. But even in our worst possible circumstance, if we humble ourselves to Christ and pray to him, Lord, help me. Give me peace. Give me joy. Help me make it through this. He will help us. And this here was part of his thinking, the congregation. And they went above and beyond what they would be able to do. Like years ago, when we raised money for that well, this little church on paper should not have been able to do that. But there are people in Africa right now drinking clean water, and probably some have come to Christ because of that well. It's the center point. And there may be some that may not have been here at that time, but Bill found a project for us to help with to establish clean drinking water for this school. And we raised thousands and thousands of dollars. And to look on paper, you would not think that. But the Lord took what we gave and he multiplied it. And now look at it. You know, you have a well there that there will be generations of people that will probably come to Christ, that will be learned, that will not die, that would have died because of the little bit that was given and the Lord multiplied it. The congregation here at Philippi, when they gave that to Paul, it allowed Paul to keep writing, keep evangelizing. How many people have come to Christ for the verses that Paul wrote? The joy that he maintained and the help that he received from others is just amazing. God works through us. He doesn't have to, but he does. 2 Corinthians 9:10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And Paul tells us that he didn't really seek the gift itself, but he sought the profit that increases your account. When you give and you help someone, it comes back for you. It does. And Paul was in one of the worst prisons in the world, and he felt joy. We can have inner joy through his, you can feel it through his writing. And it's a powerful tool. You look at what Paul did with a little bit of joy. How many tens of thousands of people did he influence in his lifetime and beyond? How many times has Paul been quoted? I don't know. I've lost track. We had a guy here pretending to be Paul 2,000 years after he was gone. If any of you saw that television show, AD, it was on NBC last year. Paul, from where he was at, where he had no joy, to by the time Christ got a hold of him, he was transformed. That inner joy in his heart, no matter what the circumstance was, he kept right on going for the Lord. He was a Tonka truck. Those old Tonka trucks made out of all metal that you could not destroy. He was a Tonka truck. He just kept right on going and influenced generation after generation. What would we give to have the peace and joy this man had? in a prison, wounded, cold, hungry, he had peace and joy. What can we do to get it? Gratitude. Be grateful to God for his blessings. Be humble. Pride can lead to a lot of bad things. And talk to the Lord. Bless you. And pray, Lord, help me. I feel in a knot inside. I am just anxious. I'm fearful. I'm fretful. Help me. Because I want your gifts. I want the gifts of joy and peace. Y'all, we're about to go to prayer. And then we're going to have our songs. And as always, the altars are always open. Whatever your need is, the Lord can fill it. But just be humble and just talk to him. Doesn't have to be fancy. Just talk to him. Let him know what's on your heart. And he can help you. I'm going to get everybody to stand, please. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Father, there may be someone in here that if they were to talk to you, they would tell you, Lord, I don't have any joy in my heart. I have no peace. I feel like I am in a fight constantly. I feel like I am in a fight with my sinful self. Father, this battle's won. Please help me to put that old person on the cross and put your joy and your peace in my heart. That's what I want to live there, not that old man, not that old person. Father, there may be someone that has come to you before and they are Christians and they have backslid. Father, help them to find that joy and peace again in their hearts. And as we go out in this world that is just primed to take what you have given us away and replace it with negative things, Father, help us to defend our joy and to defend our peace, Father. Because it's not as the world knows, it is you know. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.